I was glad when they said to me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord, and I will enter, and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his court with all my praise, and I will say, since the day that my Lord has made, I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, I know he has made me glad. Oh, yes. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has made me glad. Oh, I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I was glad when they said unto me, 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 oh, let us go into the house of the Lord, and I will enter, and I will these gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his courts with all my praise. I will say, this is the day that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made. I will enter, and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his court with all my praise, and I will say, this is the day that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I was glad when they said unto me, 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 oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We're going to sing, Let the Worshippers Arise. I love this. Sister Mel requested this song. I love this song. I've loved it ever since I've learned about it.
Amen. Amen. Let me say a little something first. I was really thinking about the service there Sunday, you know. Holy following God.
Holy.
You know, and it goes right along with this song coming up. Let that worshiper arise.
Yeah.
Quit taking down to the devil. Yeah. Act like son of God that you are.
Yeah.
You know, that made something. That meant something to me. Yeah. That was a stepping stone for me there.
Amen.
Sunday. brought in a lot, and it didn't change anything.
No.
It just reminded me who I was.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing God's trying to do every time, every time. Don't come in here with your head hung down.
No.
Hold your head up high.
Yeah.
Worshiper, arise.
Arise.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all, my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Hallelujah. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all, my all. I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder. Hallelujah. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing from our hearts that comes an anthem. Oh, hear the heavens ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender my all. I surrender in my all. My all. I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder.
I hear it.
Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing from our hearts. It comes an anthem. Oh, hear the heavens ring. This is our song. A song to our King. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sun and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all, my all. I surrender to the King. Father, I see you're drawing a line in the sand. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. Hallelujah. I surrender in my all, my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. my all, I surrender to the King. Let's sing it one more time. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, my all. You can be seated.
Amen.
Be seated, be seated. Couple quick announcements I want to get out of the way. Good to see the brother Kobe.
Amen.
Kobe's back
Amen.
There. He brought the meat for tonight.
That's right.
So go ahead and put it on the grill. We're about ready to eat. We came here for a good time. Don't matter if it's a long or short time, we came here for a good time.
Amen.
We're dealing with believers here that believe the whole book, preach the whole book. Bring whatever you want.
Amen.
Don't hold nothing back.
Holy Father.
We're saying, I'm telling you what my pastor says. I want all you got.
Yeah.
I don't want you to leave here and go, well, I should have said, I would have done. Say it everything you want to say.
That's right.
We're open here. We want to hear it. We're talking to believers, you know. I love that what Brother Don said. He said, you know, talk about Caleb and Joshua got me excited. Because Caleb looked at Joshua and said, you know I wholly followed him.
Oh, yes.
There was nothing that God ever asked that was too hard.
Amen.
There was never God that asked was too long. There was nothing that God ever said that I didn't do.
Amen.
That's the group that you're talking to tonight. This is some That's Caleb right. and Joshua's in here. We're going to get to Cadiz Barnea and we're going to cross over.
Right.
Yes, we're not going to come to some place and stop. So I'm looking forward to what God's going to do tonight. As far as announcements goes, now tonight they're moving the sign up for the Wilds that goes down tonight. So you're going to sign up, got to do that. That's for July 8th. We got music practice tomorrow. And then June 11th, we're going to be going, Brother Jeremiah, not we, but the church, I guess, be represented. Brother Jeremiah is going to be going to Little Bethlehem. So remember that. I don't know how the Oh, yeah, if you're not signed up tonight, you're not going. So don't ask about it. Don't look into it. Don't show up at the parking lot. Because I know sometimes I've been there. Be like, well, I didn't sign up. Let me maybe sneak in a car. No, you've been told don't even do it. So that's good instructions. And you got plenty of time to do it. You got from now to the end of service to make sure you're good to go. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to what he's going to preach. I want to sing one last song, and it's Oh, I Love You, Lord, key of G. And it's in the chorus book. Turn it over to Brother Kobe. Okay, we'll be ready for you, Brother Kobe. We'll turn it over to you. You know your way up here, so we'll sing this and get you up. Page 43, please. Key of G. I don't even know why I did that. He likes the other mic. No, you're on the song. Oh, I love you, Lord.
I got another song. Oh, how I love Jesus.
That's a good song, too. We just all got to sing the same one.
Yeah.
43. Yes. That's all right. That's a good song. It's a beautiful song. Yeah, I think so. Now we're going to all, yeah. It's all right. Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice just to worship you with all my soul. Rejoice, so take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Brother Kobe.
Oh, I love you, Lord.
Tonight, we want it to be a sweet sound in his ear. Y'all may be seated if you like. I always try to remember that first. Sit down. Sometimes I get tired, stand up. I'm like, when's he going to say sit down, you know? But, you know, that song just reminds me of something happened to me this week. May it be a sweet sound in your ear. Sometimes people say things and it's not real sweet. And it's not a sweet sound to hear. And I just got to say, whenever I work on something, I like them to come up to me and say, wow, Mr. Covey, that looks good, you know, not cut it apart. And so my brother, he can attest to this. I've got this big deck, and it hadn't been stained for like 5 years, so it's cured real good. And it's a big deck. And I went out and got all this stain, and I started staining that deck. I mean, it worked on it 3 or 4 days. And it was hot in the hot sun, and I got this Mexican crew working in my garage on drywall. And I'm out there just rolling that stain on that deck. And this old Mexican guy comes walking up, coming into work. And he looks at me, he goes, why you paint deck so ugly color, you know? And I'm like, wow, you know? And I thought it was beautiful, man. I thought, wow. Because why you paint that deck so ugly color, such ugly color? And I said, what? You know? I didn't know how to say it, you know? So I was like, what? So I'm changing the color, right? I mean, I tell you, I mean, in the eye of the beholder. I mean, but you know, I did get up though yesterday morning, and I opened my blinds to my kitchen where the deck is off of, and I thought, boy, that sun is bright this morning. And it was the orange from the deck. It was, so he was right. Sometimes I'm wrong, you know. So, but I did go in on his drywall work, and I was good. I said, wow, this looks great. This looks great, you know. But just remember, let it be a sweet sound in somebody's ear. And if you tell them about Jesus, you know, it's a sweet sound. Yeah. You know, I was almost boasting a little bit. And talking about a little ways back about retiring. And I thought, man, I can't wait to retire, and this is gonna be great. And I figured everything out where I could retire. And I shut down all the ads, I shut down everything. And my phone kept ringing more and more. And I'd let all my workers go. And next thing you know, here comes some of the best workers. Please, Mr. Covey, let's work for you, man. We'll, you know, and so I'm thinking, okay, well, I've got a house or two to sell before I should really retire, so let's just start working. So then I got to praying, because everything just seemed to start going real smooth with the business. And I said, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? And he kind of reminded me of this pastor I used to know. And the pastor was kind of going through maybe like a midlife crisis or something, and he was feeling down. And he said, you know, I think I'm just going to quit. I think I'm just going to retire. And you know, when a pastor says that, it kind of scares the congregation, you know, a little bit. And I thought, oh my, you know. And so I've been good friends with him for years. So I went up to him one day, and I kind of wanted to give him a piece of my mind because the widow ladies that were there and how it just really scared him. But I told him, I said, listen, are you called to be a pastor? He goes, well, yeah, Brother Eric, I've been a pastor for so many years now. And I said, well, I don't think you can quit a calling. You can't retire. You can't quit a calling. And he kind of did a scratch your head kind of moment, like, man, maybe he's right. And so a couple weeks later, he got up in the pulpit and he goes, you know, somebody was talking to me and they said, you know, you just can't quit a calling. And he's still pastoring, you know, and he's came through whatever he's come through and things like that. But everybody has a downtime. But that's when it's good, because then you can only look up. And then you can see your redemption. It's just drawing nigh. So anyway, I told him, you know, you can't quit a calling. And so then I started praying about this business. And the Lord just kind of showed me, took me back about 25, 30 years when I didn't want anything to do with the roofing business. And I went out in my woods and I started praying. And I said, God, why the roofing business? That's something my dad did. I didn't want to do. You know, every time I had time to go play with my friends, my dad was saying, boys, come, let's get on the roof. We got to work. And it just, that's why I hated it so much, because it took me away from playing in the creek and going fishing, you know. And I said, why? I mean, it's way out in my woods. And I said, God, why the roofing business? He goes, well, you know, I didn't like going to the cross either. And I said, wow. I said, the roofing business don't sound too bad, you know. And if you could hang on the cross for me. And he just kind of showed me, the roofing business, it's not your job. Your job as a son of God is to witness for me and to go out and find that last one. And I said, oh, Lord, that's right. And then he just kind of showed me that's how I get into the people's homes, is through the roofing business. I sit on their porches. I talk to them at their kitchen table. And before you know it, we're having prayer or they have a need. And sometimes they don't, but at least you're there. And so I said, okay, Lord, I know my job's to witness for you, and you're making it so easy now to get in these doors, the roof. So I said, all right, you know, whether you need the money or you don't, there's souls out there need touched. There's people that need prayer and prayed for. So I'm not retired. I'm still a soldier in the army of the Lord, and I'm pressing on, you know. And sometimes when you're pressing on the upward way, it's harder to climb, you know. So, but anyway, let's sing this song, page 628, probably key of F, we're going to try. And I'm ready for this. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon. And that little boy right back there, the tambourine, if you want, bring your tambourine up here. You are good. That little boy can play the tambourine. I am telling you. Yeah, you're more than welcome to. And if you don't want to, that's fine too. But soon and very soon. Are you ready for it? I'm ready. I'm ready to get out of here.
See the King.
more dying there. We are going to see the King. We're going to be living there. Soon more dying there. We are going to see the King. I still just fathom walking into them gates and just seeing Jesus there. And then people saying, hey, what's going on? I ain't seen you for a long time. And I was thinking a few weeks ago, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking how Brother Branham would, you know, teach a lot on the woman caught in the very act. And I was thinking, you know, he said that there will be ones there that you wouldn't think would. And then there'd be the opposite. And it's not like a little daydream I had. I don't know if it's a dream or what. But all at once, we're shaking hands with one another. We're over there in the glory land. And this fellow walks up to me, and he said, where did you come from? What age? I said, oh, Laodicea. He goes, oh, my. That's the hardest age, but the greatest age. And so we talked for a while. You know, I don't talk much, but we talked for a little while, you know. And so anyway, I finally asked him. I said, well, brother, how did you make it here? He said, oh, we all made it here by the grace of God. Amen. He said, but you remember in your Laodicea, you remember where your prophet always preached about that woman caught in the very act? And then that he went up to that woman and he forgave her. And he said, where are your accusers? I have none. Right. But do you remember she was caught in the very act? I said, well, yeah. He goes, well, I was the one that she was caught in the act with. But you know, Jesus, in his mercy and his grace, he come and seeked me out. And he come and he found me and he put his arm around me. And he said, listen, I'm going to offer you the same forgiveness as I did that woman. And he said, I accepted. And he said, oh my, I couldn't believe it that he'd forgive a wretch like me. So I was just thankful. And you know, I'm glad that we didn't really have to go looking, that no one can come to the Father. First, he draws you. And so thank you for the drawing. You know, the world has drawings, you know, like the lottery. But, man, but we were drawn. We're just drawn to him. But, oh, so thankful. I'm going to say one more thing, and we're going to get the brother up here. You're more welcome to be seated again if you like. This is something I heard, and it just touched me. And I thought, wow, there is power in prayer. There's power when you pray. There's no power if you pray to the wrong God, but there's power if you pray to Jesus. And there was this man, and he had kind of a dangerous kind of job. And so anyway, this man, he was a good Christian man, and he went out to this edge of town. It's a real rough area, and he was in a nice work truck and well-to-do looking guy. But anyway, he ended up having to go way back in these woods to, I guess, read some kind of a meter or something like that. And he's kind of scared to go back there. But anyway, he goes all the way back there and does his job. And then the next day, he came back. He was in town, and this guy comes up to him. And he said, hey, I recognize you. And he looked kind of like a thug kind of guy. And he said, me and my buddies, we saw you walking back into those woods yesterday. And I'm just going to be honest with you. We were going to go back there and rob you and kill you. And he goes, man, why would you do that? And why didn't you? He goes, and he knew why, because he's a Christian. But he goes, why didn't you? He goes, well, we didn't realize. We thought you walked back there alone. But when we started going back into the woods, we didn't know you had 26 armed guards back there around you, surrounding you. And we're thinking, man, we can't mess with this guy. And so the next service they had at church, he had told the pastor about it, and the pastor said, well, you know, I've had some of the people call me that night and say they were thinking about you, and God put you on their heart to pray for you. And he said, no, all you saints out there that prayed for this brother, would you stand to your feet? And one stood up, two, six, 26 people stood up. And them 26 people were praying, represented each one of them 26 armed guards around that man. So when you pray, Listen, sometimes the world can see things you can't. He didn't see them armed guards, you know, but boy, them thugs sure did, you know. So, but boy, just don't, if God ever puts me on your heart to pray, pray for me. Because, buddy, that means I need it. You know, he don't put somebody in your heart in vain because his word doesn't come back to him void, you know. Can't thank you enough for the opportunity to come before you here tonight. And I brought Brother Alex. And I tell you, he's become a real good friend. And you know, we do fool with each other a lot. You know, I pick on him, he picks on me. And, you know, but that's just because we like each other, I guess. You know, yeah. My dad used to tell us boys, you know, we'd come home, Mike would be crying. What are you crying about, Mike? And he said, this girl hit me. He goes, that means she likes you, you know. And if she hits you twice, you know. So I guess I like Alex. I give him a good one every once in a while. But we've traveled together. It's just been a blessing, you know. You know, a lot of my old buddies, they hang out in the bars and the nightclubs. They do what the world does, you know. But thank God I've got a new appetite. I've got a new taste, you know, for something good. And I'm not even tempted. I've not even been tempted probably since I got saved to even go back to that. It just does nothing for me. But to get around God's people, wow, there's nothing more exciting than that. Let's sing that one song in worship to him. Let's just all stand as Brother Alex comes. All hail King Jesus. That goes through me. All hail Emmanuel. Wow. And that's 584, I'm sorry. Oh, there we go.
All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. O King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bright morning star.
Remember, he's your King of Kings. He's your bright morning star. So if we could just stand to attention as the brother comes without any music, and let's just lift our voices.
All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. He's my King. Kings, Lord of Lords, bright.
bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him.
And forevermore.
We play it one more time? Let's just do it once more, amen? Let's just make Him welcome now, hallelujah.
Oh, all hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Almighty God. And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him. And forevermore, I will reign with Him.
You believe that tonight? Let's just praise Him in this place. Amen. He's worthy. Amen. Well, go ahead and give him a hand clap or something. Let him know how you feel tonight. Amen. And you've been so loud the whole time. You're all getting quiet on me already. He's worthy tonight. Amen. Amen. If we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. Well, praise the Lord for that. We're so grateful to be here with you tonight. We want to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if both of these are mine. Do I get a double portion? Praise the Lord Jesus. It's a sign. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is fine. Can you hear me all right? Yeah. You know, it's just really good to be here tonight. I was thinking, you know, Brother Eric was talking about retirement, and he was talking about it to me a little bit earlier today. And, you know, I just turned 40 here, and, you know, they say the earlier you get ready for retirement and stuff, the better. And so, you know, being a traveling evangelist and things, it's not always been easy. And so, you know, I thought to myself, you know, here recently, I need to start getting ready. You know, time's a waste. Now I'm getting older every day, but now that he's let me know that there's no point in me planning for retirement, I guess I'll just not be careful at all. So I guess I'm not allowed. Thanks, Brother Eric. Just work me like a dog to the day I die. You know, I think I told my wife or something a while back, if I ever get so old that I can't preach or do nothing for the Lord anymore, I'll just buy, this is my retirement plan. I'm going to get a one-way ticket to Saudi Arabia or something. I'm going to get off the plane there with a sign that says Jesus is the Messiah and Muhammad's a false prophet. And that'll probably take care of everything. Won't have to worry about a funeral or getting a burial place or anything. So I've got it all worked out by the grace of God. But, you know, by the grace of God, I believe there's a people on the face of the earth, even tonight, that they're not going to see death in this natural body. Spiritually, we've already passed from death unto life. And there's a people that physically as well, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Do you believe that tonight? So, no, I'm not saying not to plan for your retirement, but what I'm saying is, it's like Brother Bram talked about that insurance salesman coming to him one time. And he's like, well, I got some assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. And that guy said, well, listen, that's not going to put you in the graveyard. He said, no, but it'll get me out. So, that's about how I feel about it. Amen. Well, God is good, and I don't want to put you to death by preaching at you too long tonight. So we're going to go ahead and bow our heads. We've all hailed King Jesus. We made Him feel welcome. But listen, He was welcome when you walked in the door, if He's in you. And when He leaves tonight, He'll leave when you leave tonight. Amen. So when you bow your heads, just remember you're praying to the God within you. As we look to Him tonight, let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful tonight that you made a way for us when there was no way. And Lord, you brought us here tonight. Lord, we could be many places like our brother Eric was talking about. We could be in a bar tonight. We could be in the gutter. We could be shooting up another needle tonight. We could be doing so many different things. And if we'd had our way in this life, Lord, perhaps that's where we would have been tonight. But you had a greater plan and a greater purpose for us. You said, I know the plans that I've got for you. And tonight, Lord, I pray you just make known to us in a greater way those plans. Lord, you're not ignorant tonight of the plans that you have for us, but Lord, we desire to see your face. We desire to know in a greater way what you'd have for us. We come here tonight, we assemble ourselves, and we humble our hearts before you this evening, asking, Lord, that you'd come and speak in a mighty way. Speak to the different needs, Lord. Every person in here has different needs and different struggles and different walks tonight, but you're the same Jehovah Jireh. You're the same God that led Abraham, and I believe tonight for each one of us, if we would incline our ears to hear, Lord, you're always speaking. Lord, our great need tonight is not for you to speak. You're always speaking. It's for us to hear. And so, Lord, we allow you now to speak in this place. And, Lord, we accept. We submit ourselves. We incline our ears and our hearts towards you. Lord, I'm so thankful for a message that you spoke to us in this day. I'm thankful for a mouthpiece that you give us that we could have the words of this life. And we can testify as Peter. To whom else would we go? Where else could we hear the words of life? And that's why we're here tonight. You placed a desire in our hearts to hear this word. And Lord, we're so thankful for a 7-course meal. You've thoroughly furnished a table for us. Lord, you prepared a table for us in the most wicked and deceitful age there's ever been to prove the words of David that you prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anointed our heads with oil and our cups run over. And we testify tonight and we thank you. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are your house. We are your habitation. And Lord, we are lively stones. And tonight I pray, Lord, we would just hearken unto every word. Allow the word to shape us into whatever you'd have for us to do. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you have your Bibles this evening, let's turn to the book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter. I don't always do requests, so to speak, but thank you so much. It's so good to see you tonight. Brother Eric, I guess he heard me preach this years ago, and he wanted me to preach it again. I said, well, listen, I'm not a paid performer or anything, but I'll pray about it. But I felt to go this way, and, you know, when the Lord takes a scripture, you know, it's amazing to me. God can take the same scripture and go a completely different direction. Why? Because God is infinite. And God is in his word. And this word is the word of God. And so you could, you know, that's like Brother Bram said, we don't want to read it like a newspaper. It's so easy to read one verse and go to the next verse. But, you know, each verse holds the potential. The Bible says in the book of Luke that there's no word, and it's a different translation, but there's no word of God void of power. Amen. The book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter says he sent his word. Is that right? And it will not return to him void. It shall accomplish. I believe tonight in this place, when this word was put down, many people have read it and it's blessed them. But tonight it's going to accomplish in this place. Right here in your life tonight. It shall accomplish in this meeting which pleases him. Amen. Proverbs chapter 9, the Bible says this. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her handmaid. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated this evening. Well, I'll remain standing for an undisclosed portion of time. When I get tired, I'll sit down. You can all stand up. So we're talking about being a lively house and things tonight. And I want to take this scripture and preach a thought tonight. The house of 7 pillars. Amen. And I always feel the need to qualify this. I am not an architect or a contractor. So if you are one tonight and I say something that's whatever, you know, just you can help me out after service. So this is me Googling it. You know, I don't know the fascia, a soffit, whatever. You know, I got a house. I'll have somebody fix it, you know. And don't get me started on electrical. I mean, I shouldn't even be here. I believe that God protects us because I've tried to fix my own electrical before. And let me tell you, there's no earthly reason I should be here tonight. Well, praise the Lord. You all want to know that about me. But I just want to look at this idea of a pillar tonight and what we're talking about. When we talk about a pillar, what we would call it today is a column or a pillar. And why this is significant is, you know, sometimes in architecture, pillars nowadays, they're mostly just used for decoration. I was talking to Brother Eric earlier. I was in his house. He's got this big, it's got like stone on the outside, this big pillar going between the threshold there from his kitchen area to the living room. I said, is that decorative or is that a load-bearing column? He's like, that's load-bearing, brother. That holds up the whole upstairs above it there. And so, you know, when we talk about a pillar, what the word is here in the Bible, in the Hebrew, what we're talking about, something that bears up the weight. And, you know, we don't usually use a lot of pillars nowadays. We've got studs in the wall. And so, and you're all, see, now you're all contractors. You're all on board with me. Like, uh-huh, yeah, sure. What we're talking about is something that's not decorative, but it's functional. Amen. They're not an optional part of the building. They're integral. The building won't stand up without it. Amen. And so it has a purpose. Like the studs in the wall nowadays. We look at the story of Samson. Any little kid that's been to Sunday school, we all know the story of Samson. You know, he had his eyes put out and he had his locks, his seven locks, shaved off. But when his strength come back to him, where did he have the Philistines? He had a little boy take him. Where did the pillars in the middle of that house? Because he knew if I could bring them pillars down, I could bring the whole thing down. If the pillar ever falls, the whole thing will fall with it. And so that pillar, it's got a pretty heavy job to do. It's pretty important. Amen. And so we look at that, and, you know, the pillar, it runs all the way from the ground all the way up. Amen. It doesn't just start somewhere. It's got to go from the substructure, the foundation, all the way up to the superstructure, the top of the building. And the compression, the weight of the compression on the pillar is what allows it to hold up that part of the building. And so why I'm saying this tonight is you can't just use anything for a pillar. It's got to be designed a special kind of way to do the job. Amen. You know, if you get some Play-Doh and you roll it out and you stick it there, probably not going to hold up the building for you. Amen. So we get wood, we get different things, but whatever material is used for the pillar, it's got to be enough to bear the pressure that's going to be put on. Amen. And so I want to look tonight at this idea of a pillar, what the Bible's talking about, because for you to have the pillar, for it to work right, it's got to be made of the right kind of material. Amen. Not every kind of material is going to work. You can take all kinds of things out of the world, and the world's got all kinds of ideas about what's going to hold weight and what's going to work. Amen. But when that great architect, he goes to look to build this, he says, I've got to find a certain kind of material. Can I say it tonight? God's looking for some bride material. Denominational material won't do the job. It's not built to handle the pressure of this age. Amen. Amen. So it's not looking for political material or worldly material, but Brother Bram talks about bride material. And I believe tonight that's the kind of material God's looking for us to represent. Amen? We're not just the remnant or the leftover. We're the primary. We're the thing he was looking at when he designed this great architecture, the body of Christ, which is the temple of the living God. You know, we quote that scripture a lot and we sing about it. You know, we're a temple, we're temples. The Bible doesn't say we're all a bunch of temples. It actually says we're one temple is what the Bible says. Now, you are a temple in type. You've got three courts to you. You've got three elements. But the Bible, when it speaks about us as a body of Christ, we're one temple. It's one unit. That means if you're a pillar, if you're a part of that unit, you're integral to the building. Amen? You are not optional. You're not the afterthought. You're not the, hey, you know what, I'll put an extra picture up on the wall or put an extra light fixture over here. You're part of the building that's part of what God's doing, and he can't have the building without all the materials. He can't have the building without the pillars and without the support. Amen. Amen. So you've got to have the right material. And then what I like about this, especially the scripture, it says that wisdom has hewed her seven pillars. So in other words, it's got to be fitted for the job. If you've got a 10-foot tall ceiling and you've got a 12-foot tall pillar, guess what? You got to take it down a couple feet. Amen. You say, well, I like the way I am now. I like what I, you know, I like this about me and I like this and maybe I like this sort of thing. God's got to take some things off of us sometimes. Well, I'm going to do this for the Lord or I'm going to be that. You ought to be whatever the Lord wants you to be. And if you're not what the Lord wants you to be, He'll take you and he'll heal you out and he'll fit you. Because listen, when he's done with this building, every piece is going to fit perfect. You won't need to refix it. You won't need a bunch of mortar. It's going to be so fit together perfectly. Amen. So he's got to hew it down and get the right size. He finds the right kind of material, and then he shapes it the right kind of a shape, and then it's got to be properly placed. Amen. Amen. You believe in the placing of a son tonight. I believe we live in an adoption age. Amen. We're not just a bunch of pillars laying around waiting to get used in the construction. We're at the pinnacle. We're at the climax. Amen. And for that pillar to do its job, you can't put it in with its own tilt. It can't lean one way or the other. It can't lean on its own understanding. You know, Brother Ram talks about a tree, says the way it leans is the way it's going to fall. And if you lean towards the world, guess what? You put weight on that thing, it's going to fall right into the world. Amen. You can go to church and you can shout and you can rejoice, but let one trial come. Amen. Let one situation, let one sickness strike, and you watch and they fall right over. Amen. Why? Because for that thing to go in there, you get that bubble, amen, on that level. And it's got to be just right, amen. 89 degrees won't do. Amen. 89.9 degrees. Well, it might be good enough for a man, but not for God. God says, I've got a word, and I've got a bride, and she's got thus said the Lord, or she keeps still. We're not playing with a bunch of guesswork tonight. We know his will. His will is his word. And he says, I'm going to have a bride that gives me the preeminence. That means every dot, every tittle, every little piece is going to be right in its place. Amen. You say, how can it be? I can't live that kind of a life. I know you can't, and neither can I, but Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, with you it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. He's not looking tonight at your natural ability. He's looking at your representation. I'm not represented in a bunch of scaffolding. I'm the pillar. I'm part of the original work. In the old times in the Bible, they had a plummet. And they get that plumb out and they let that thing hang and that let them know if it was straight up and down. Amen. Now we've got a plummet, and the Bible tells you this word is the plummet of God. Yes. So wisdom, she builds a house, amen. She's got seven pillars. It's interesting, you look in the book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter, it's personified wisdom as a woman, but it also personifies folly as a woman. Amen. There's two different women that are mentioned here. There's wisdom and there's folly, amen. And we could take this all kinds of different directions and things, but I think about the church tonight, because there's the church and then there's his church. Amen. There's two different buildings going up tonight, amen. Satan has built an Eden, but God has built a temple. Amen. That first Eden that fell by Satan's corruption. Now Satan, he is the architect of this Eden, but in the midst of Satan's Eden, God has a building. Yes, he does. And listen, Satan's kingdom, we know the Bible tells us this beast that arises upon the earth, it comes out of a bottomless pit. It's got no foundations. It's got nothing to it. But you and I, we are established on that rock that Jesus talked about. If a man hears my words and he obeys them, he's like a man that built his house on a rock. Well, praise God, somebody. Amen. You know what that means? It means the storms are coming. Listen, when Jesus tells that, he never says, if you build your house on the rock, the storm will pass you by. Everybody deals with the storm. Yeah. It's coming for everybody. The winds are going to beat. The storm's going to blow. The rain's going to come. And then you're not going to stand because the storm never come. You're going to come because when the storm come, you're built to handle it. You built your house on a rock. And other people go through the storm and they fall apart. And the world says, I don't know why. It's for church people fall apart. And I don't know what happened to them. And then there's a little group of people in Fairborn, Ohio. Yeah. And the world shakes their head. And the world looks, well, what's different about them? They're built on the right place. Because that pillar's got to be placed just right. Don't matter what it's even made out of. Doesn't matter how strong it is. If it's not placed right, it don't do you no good. Amen. Praise God for a wise master builder. Yes, William Marion Branham. Amen. Listen, it's not the man. It was God in the man. That's the word of God to our generation. Because God don't want you to fall apart when the storm comes. Some of you going through a storm tonight. I don't got to preach to you about it. You know your own storm. I don't have to read your mail. You know what you're going through. Listen, what brought you this far? Why are you still here tonight? When friends and family give up on God, when people walked away. What made you different? God put you here. God made you stand. God had a purpose. He said, listen, you're not the off shade, you're the wood. You're the pillar. You're the one. You're the one I want to use. Well, I feel religious tonight. Praise the Lord. Brother Bram said, if you want to know the national statue, look at the women. Well, praise the Lord. Well, hopefully we're not talking about some sisters here tonight now. Looking like the world, talking like the world. You know, I preached a youth meeting years ago over in Africa. I said, you know, these young men nowadays, they go to a Methodist church and they're looking at all these worldly girls. And I said, listen, if she moves like a snake and she looks like a snake and she talks like a snake, she's probably a snake. Why would you want a snake for a wife? Why do we want to look like a bunch of serpent seed? We don't want that. Listen, that's the world. That's what's going to fall apart. And you look at the condition of the women today, or the what identify. Now they don't even know if they're women. Amen. Women can't even tell you if they're women. Amen. Why? Because Satan is the author of confusion. So we look at wisdom and folly. There's this woman, and she's a bunch of foolishness. And that's all she's got. That's the world today. Listen, you say, well, that's the world. That's denominations. You say, I thought that's the world. Same thing. It's the same thing. What's the difference? Listen, I'm not here to make any bones about it. It's the same thing. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the spirit, that system behind it. Why? Because they've built on an intellectual premise. We've built on the doctrine of our church. We've built on our ideas and our own understanding. Listen, this message was not William Branham's idea. William Branham, with his seventh grade education, did not say, I'm going to start my own movement. Listen, he ran from it. Didn't want nothing to do with it, but God said, you're going to go. As John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, so your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. Amen. Listen, that was more than a man. We're not feeding tonight on the words of a man. I hope you remember that if you don't remember nothing else. We are feeding on the unfailing. Yeah. Unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Yeah. You say, how do you know I'm going to make it through the storm? He's proved it in every other age. He's proved it through the Bible. If you'll do this, if you'll submit to God, it don't matter what kind of storm. You could be Job tonight. And I doubt any of us are going through what Job went through. Listen, Job didn't hold himself in that position. Job was ready to give up. And God moved in that man when he was ready to give up. So the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Listen, why? Because God already spoke about him. Yeah. There's Satan walking around, roaming to and fro throughout the whole earth. You know what's funny? Job sat there, man, why am I going through this tonight? Why am I going through this? Did I fail God? Maybe I made the devil mad. No, you made God proud. Amen. Listen, Satan didn't start that. Job didn't start. You know, God started it. Here's Satan walking around like he's a big shot. And God said, hey, you see my son down there? See my son Job? There's none like him. Oh, how that just must make the devil mad. We're down here, wowsy, wowsy, woo. God, why am I going through this? What'd I do to make the devil mad? Maybe God's boasting about you, maybe. Hey, man, maybe you did something right. Listen, Job, no matter what he went through, he knew he'd made the right sacrifice, the prophet said. His conference, he said, you know what? Yo, the skin worms eat up this flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Amen. What could cause a man in his condition to say that? God met him. Amen. God showed him. His Redeemer would stand on the earth in the last days. You say, well, if God would speak to me that way, hello, somebody. That's what he did. Right. Listen, God sent an Elihu to stand as a representative and say, listen, God's speaking to you, Job. God's trying to tell you something, Job. We've had a representative. That's what a prophet is. A prophet has stood and told us the thought that God had in the back of his mind before the foundation of the world. We're sitting here, I wish God would speak to me. Go press play. Go open your Bible. Go show up to church. Listen, it's like in my prayer. We're always waiting for God to speak. God's always speaking. God is not silent. God is not disinterested in your life. The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You go look that up in the Greek. It literally says they that are led and continually are always led. You're always led. I had a brother come to me one time and said, brother, I make mistakes and stuff. I said, are you saying I'm not a son of God? I said, no. I said, the Bible says you're always led by the Spirit of God. Didn't say you always listen. That's where the problem is. It's not that God's not speaking. We're just not listening. But if you would ever understand, listen, God's always got a word in season for you. There's always something for you. Oh, I wish God would speak to me. God's speaking to you now. But can you recognize it? Can you recognize it's for you tonight? Are you waiting for him to show up next week? Well, I know where some people mess up. I talked about this years ago. I said, you know, everybody's waiting for a phone call from God. I wish God would speak to me. God, give me a phone call. He already sent him a letter. They won't even read the letter. I wish God would speak to me. Man, he done spoke to you 66 books, and you won't even read it. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Well, does God want me to do this? Maybe God wants me to rob this bank. Look, listen, we know what God wants you to do about robbing the bank. He don't want you to rob the bank. It's in his word. Oh, well, how does it? Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That's got to be one of the most frustrating things as a minister. Somebody come up. Well, brother, we're going through this situation. We've got this certain thing going on. We don't know what to do. Well, the Bible says this. Well, yeah, we're just going to have to pray about it. Pray for what? Amen. That you would obey God?
Come on.
Like, you got to obey God.
That's right.
People, listen, the denominations pray. Listen, most people use prayer as an excuse to not have to obey God.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not saying not to pray. You should pray without ceasing. But listen, it don't do you no good to pray if you won't obey.
Amen.
Well, God, you want me to do this? Yeah, I want you to do it. Well, I don't want to do it. Well, then why'd you ask? Listen, if you're not going to do what he says, don't ask him. Well, glory to God. I'm way off already. I'm not even, I don't know what am I preaching? Seven pillars or something.
Amen.
Well, God, I want to do whatever you want. Okay, I want you to be a pillar over here. I don't want to be a pillar over there. Well, just what do you want to do?
Come on.
See, that's what we do. Well, praise God. You know what? I probably used this last time, so I'm going to get in trouble because I've got like 40 different memes. It's, you know, it's like your wife comes up. Oh, glory to God. You not you, sisters. Well, my wife, whatever. She comes up, well, I got this new dress, and I got it on sale. Do you like it? She doesn't want to know what I think. She wants her opinion in my voice. Now, we're laughing, but that's the church tonight. The Bible said, in that day, that's this day, seven women will come to one man. Listen, we want to wear our own apparel. We want to dress like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. We want to eat our own bread. We want to do what we want. We want to have whatever we want. We want to feed on whatever we want. We just want to be called by your name. We want all the benefits without having to obey. Well, praise the Lord. You say, well, not us. We're the message. Listen, you can sit in a message church and be a one-man denomination. What did the denomination do? It exalted the tradition of man over the word of God. It's like I said this years ago. There's only one thing the Bible says is more powerful than the word of God. The traditions of men. Because the traditions of men can make the word of God of none effect in your life. It's not going to stop the plan of God, but it'll stop it in your life. And we'll hold on to family traditions and our own traditions, maybe ideas, our own idea about anything. And we'll exalt that over the will of God. Why isn't God moving my life? Why can't I get the victory? Because you supplanted the will of God. It's no different than them women. They want to be called by his name, but they don't want to do what he says. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to get back to this Bible, these notes here. this woman wisdom, we talk about Proverbs 3. You know what the book of Proverbs 3 says? It says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold of her. Amen. Listen, a denominational bride, she ain't no tree of life. But if you, oh, hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
What did Brother Bram say? He said that original bride tree that was torn down by them four worms. He said, but in this day, the bridegroom come and the manifestation of this bride tree restored in this day. He said, it is that original tree of life again.
Amen.
Can I make it simple for you? She is him.
Amen.
Where's he at? If you're the word of God for your day and you've submitted to this restored word, that is a tree of life.
Yes.
That means in your tongue, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Listen, I'm not saying you can save anybody. I'm saying if you take this word and you'll speak this word, it can impart life to others.
Yes.
Now, that's not the foolish woman. That's the wise one.
Yes.
My. Brother Bram said the same word that speaks of the bridegroom speaks of the bride. Now, what did he do? He humbled himself under obedience.
Amen.
Amen. He allowed God to place him,
yes.
Amen, through suffering, through rejection. Oh, I want God to place me, and I want a big three-piece suit and a gold ring, and I'm going to have a big old church. I mean, well, yeah, that's what everybody wants. Listen, denomination, they'll be right with you on that. Everyone's blessed. Nobody wants to suffer. But if you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. Men and women and children throughout 2,000 years, they've suffered. You go back and read the Fox's Book of Martyrs about how people suffered. People suffered so you and I could have this Bible in English tonight. So the Catholic Church couldn't keep it from you, amen? People paid with their lives. They were tortured. They were beaten. And they didn't accept the deliverance because they wanted a better resurrection. We can't hardly show up to church. Oh, come on now, somebody.
Amen.
Well, I had a bad day at work. I'm just not going to serve God. Well, somebody was mean to me. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to go to church anymore. Listen, I tell you what, praise the Lord. Listen, it's easy. Oh, well, listen, I got hurt, so I'm not going to serve God. Why? God didn't hurt you.
Amen.
You know how it is. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody hurt you, so you go. Some people, they go take it on their spouse or whoever. They take it on somebody else. Listen, I didn't do nothing to you. Why you take it out on me? We'll do that to Jesus.
Right.
Man, I had a bad day. People don't like me.
Right.
I lost my job. I'm so mad. Well, he didn't do nothing to you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, listen, I don't want to suffer like that. You think Jesus did?
Right.
Jesus looking at the cross. Glory to God. Glory to me, I guess. Whatever. I get to go to the cross. Man, I'm going to suffer like no man's ever suffered. I can't wait. Now, the Bible says he despises shame.
Yeah.
He prayed if it was possible.
Yeah.
Let this cup pass.
Yeah.
He wasn't jonesing to go to the cross.
No,
he prayed if there was a way out, I'd get out of it.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done.
Yeah.
He despised the cross. He endured the shame because of the joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before him? You were the joy that was set before him before the foundation of the world. You know why? Because when you were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, you know what you did? You had joy with him. Where were you, Job? When the sons of God sang together, when the morning star shouted for joy.
Amen.
Jesus prayed God, he prayed to his Father. He said, let them have the glory that we had together before the world began.
Amen.
He didn't want to go to the cross. He wasn't all about it, but he said, you know what? The prize. He saw you with all your faults and all your mishaps and all your stubbornness and all your insolence and said, they're worth it.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord. I don't want to do nothing for God. It's too hard. He's done everything for us.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm going this way or not, but here we are.
Amen.
Listen, Daniel, he saw a vision. He saw a vision of a stone. Remember that stone? It was not hewed out by human hands. God hewed out that stone. Christ is that rock of offense. Listen, Christ didn't make, you know, it's like the Jews, they come and said, well, you being a man, you make yourself God. He didn't make himself God. God made him God. He is God.
Amen.
Right. Wasn't a man doing it. Listen, this stone that was hewed out, it wasn't human hands that did it. And these pillars, listen, this is not human instrumentality tonight. God hewed out this bride. God pulled her out of denominations. God pulled her out of the world. God pulled you out of families and homes and situations where you've got no reason to be here tonight. Some of you can look back and say, there's no logical reason for me to be in this church tonight, and yet I'm here. Why? God put you here.
Amen.
Was it mommy? It wasn't daddy. It wasn't so-and-so. God put you here.
Amen.
The same hands that hewed that stone out is the same hands that have hewed you and I out.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
my. When God in his great wisdom, he laid out this blueprint for his house. He had these seven pillars. Amen. You know, these pillars, they don't look like vertical columns. They look like men.
Amen.
The pillars he's talking about tonight, it's not some natural arch or natural stone. They look a lot like men. You know, Brother Bam talks about a masterpiece with Michelangelo. You know, he looked at that block, and, you know, other men looked at this block, and they might have just saw a lump of stone.
Right.
It's defective. There's nothing to it. It costs too much. We don't want it. But when Michelangelo saw it, he said, you know what? I want that. You know why he wanted it? He saw something inside of it.
Yes, he did.
Listen, it'd take a man with a special kind of vision to see that on the inside. Amen. Listen, you might not look like much to the world. You might not look like much to mommy and daddy. I don't know. Amen. But listen, when God looked at your lump of stone, when God looked at your life, said, you know what? I see a masterpiece.
Yeah. Right.
Now, it's going to take some work to get there.
Amen.
Amen. This great masterpiece that Michelangelo had, listen, he didn't 3D print it.
No.
Didn't have a power tool to work with back then, a big, you know. Didn't have nothing like that. Didn't have a computer CAD program or anything like that. Amen. But he had a vision and he had a gift. And listen, he didn't take, and this is what I want you to get at tonight. He didn't take a bunch of little pieces. I'm going to make a head here, like an action figure. I'm going to attach it up here and all these pieces here. He took one block, one lump, and out of that lump, he began to hew out an image. There was a lot of stone there that wasn't part of the image. And so he had to start taking a little piece off here and take a little piece off there. He's not fabricating or building. He's hewing it.
Amen.
Wisdom hewed pillars. There's some humanity. There's some of the earth that needs to be taken away to reveal the image that's on the inside.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Now, I'm not an expert on art. So I was reading some different commentaries about the technique that Michelangelo employed to do his statue of Moses. And it's interesting because if you ever looked at it, it's amazing. Just the detail is astounding. And this guy talks about this, the guy that I read. He said the long glossy beard. I like the beard part, by the way, especially. The long glossy beard, the hairs, it's so difficult to render in sculpture, being so soft and downy. I mean, it looks so flowing, so soft and downy. He said, it seems as if the iron chisel must have become a brush. That's how fine the detail was. A man using a chisel looked like he used a brush. It was so perfect and folded, and it looked like it was soft. In so much, Brother Bram talks about the man looked at it and thought he would come alive if he struck him.
Right.
Now, I looked this up because I was curious. And Michelangelo, he made this statue. And of course, he had other projects too. Wasn't working out full time, but he made this statue over the course of like 40 years. You know, he didn't sit there and say, well, I'll pencil whip it and get done in 6 weeks and hand over to you. He said, I'm going to take my time on this.
Right. Wow.
Amen, somebody? Well, I hope you know where I'm going tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, there might be days you walked in there and looked at that sculpture and be like, man, that looks the same as last week.
Right.
He didn't do nothing. Oh, he did something. Right. You just might not always notice it. Listen, there'd be days he'd go in there and work on just one corner for hours. Just one little thing. And listen, if you're not an artist, you wouldn't know. I don't look like he's doing nothing with the sculpture. Doesn't look like he's working on me at all. I'm in the same boat. I've got the same. It's been 10 years. What's going on? He's just taking his time. Amen. He's working on you little by little. Because listen, he wants to be so good. Amen. He don't want to hand you my ninth grade art project from school. A bunch of macaroni with glue. He wants it to look so good. Amen. It looks like it's alive. When he gets done, listen, this is not just another job. This is his masterpiece. Amen. He said, when I'm done with this one, this is what I'm going to be remembered for. Amen. Amen. Listen, this bride of this last day, you're his masterpiece. Amen. And if he's taking his time in your life, don't get discouraged. Come on. Man, I don't look like nothing's going on in my life. Listen, he's taking time. He's working on you because it's got to be just right. It's going to look so good. Yes. And when he speaks to this rock, it's going to speak back. Yes. Holy, holy, holy. Yes. This capstone that has descended, we have received it with crimes of grace. Grace. Yes. What did it in your life is grace. Yes. Amen. He's healed you out. Listen, you might not look like a pillar. Come on. You might not look like nothing. Maybe tonight you say, I still don't look like nothing. But are you letting him work on you? Yeah. Listen, if you're letting him work on you, then let him have his, let patience have a perfect work. You might not notice it here. You might not notice it next week, but I guarantee you, you can look back, amen, and you can testify like that woman did. Listen, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God, I'm not what I used to be. That rough edge in my life is gone. That thing that hung on me for years, it might have took decades, but God got it off. God took care of it. God brought it around. And that thing that I used to despise, that thing that looked so ugly, God made it a masterpiece.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're not just another job on the board. You're his legacy. You're his masterpiece. You're the thing they're going to look back and talk about. Look at what he did in Laodicea. The worst age, the worst deception, the worst darkness. Nobody can make it out of Laodicea. Oh, I beg to differ, God says. Have you considered my bride? There's none like her. Satan's looked at a lot of churches, but God stopped and said, no, I want your attention for a moment. Listen, God started this one, and he's going to finish it. He's the author and the finisher of your faith, amen? He said, I'm tired of fighting the battle. God put you in it. He put you in it to win it. He didn't put you in it to lose. You are not the tail tonight. You are the head. Your enemy will come out against you one way, and you will scatter him seven ways. Amen. We are not defeated tonight. Amen. Somebody say, I am not defeated. I am not defeated. I have just begun. I love Commodore Perry. He's fighting with the British there, and he ran out of shot. He actually asked him, can I borrow some ammunition to shoot at you with? I love it. Satan throws all this stuff. Hey, you just give me more ammunition. I'll throw it right back at you. I'll throw it right back at you. Are you ready to surrender? I've not yet begun to fight. Oh, you thought I was trying. You thought it was over. We're just getting started. While the prophet's been gone for 50 years, the churches are falling apart. Looks like the bride's winding up her job. Looks like it's all over. We've just begun. We're just getting started. The best is yet to come. You think you've seen something before? Wait till you see what God's going to do in 2023. Wait till you see what he's going to do in 2024 if he tarries. Listen, he's not going down. We're going up. That pillar don't run from the bottom halfway up. And we'll put a little table there. It runs all the way up to glory.
Amen.
I feel pretty good tonight. Do you all read the church age book here? Am I allowed to quote that? I'll just leave that alone. Listen, I'll say this. See how I ask first? No, you think about the Apostle Paul. This is where I'm coming to with this tonight. When the Apostle Paul, when he meets James and Peter and John, these men that they appeared to be pillars, they appeared to be important in the church, they perceived the grace of God that had been extended to this man, the Apostle Paul. And they offer him the right hand of fellowship that he can go and preach to the Gentiles, to the uncircumcised. Amen? Let me say it this way. They acknowledged the revelation that Paul had as the messenger. Amen? Peter acknowledges that this man had the word of God. Amen? Peter says this, we account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom, see, wisdom built his house. Wisdom is given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking them of these things, which in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Listen, if you wrestle with the word of God, it's just going to destroy you. Amen. You're not going to destroy God. Amen. Unstable people. Yes. People that do this. Amen. Listen, if the pillars in the house, listen, they don't do this. Oh. Something's holding it in place. Amen. Listen, Paul, let me say it this way. Paul, he's the pattern for every ministry, every Christian. Amen. Every ministry, and Paul was so certain about his gospel. He was so certain about his revelation. He said, if another man would preach another gospel, listen, if an angel from heaven, amen. Help me out, someone. Listen, Pentecost would have took that as bait. Amen. Brother Bram, talk about that man in the days of St. Martin. Amen. Oh, we saw a light. We saw this and that. But if an angel from heaven would come and preach another gospel, Paul said, let him be accursed. Amen. That's right. That's right. The gospel I received, this revelation, did not come from man. Amen. It come from God. Amen. 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 So that's the plummet. That's the pillar. When God raised up a church age messenger in that first age, that was the pillar upon which the rest of the church is, upon which everything else would be judged and built upon. Amen. Amen. So in every age, God has had a pillar. He's had a restoration. He's had a messenger. And that messenger is the one that upheld his revelation, upheld that church age. Amen. And if you wanted to believe the word for your day, you had to follow the pattern of that pillar. Amen. Amen. So we've had seven churches and seven messengers, seven pillars. Amen. Amen. Is that all right? Can I say that? Yeah. Amen. And that's what we had. You think about Brother Bram when he goes beyond the curtain of time. Amen. And then people begin to rejoice that he's there. You were a leader on the earth. And he said, listen, everybody has to be judged. Will Paul have to be judged? Yeah, Paul will be judged. He said, then I'm not worried about being judged. Why? I preached what Paul preached. Why? Because that's the original pillar. If you build according to this pattern, the rest of the building will be fine. And you know what we said? We're resting. Why? Because that's what you rest the building on, the pillar. We're resting on that. That man had the revelation for his day according to what Paul preached. My, my. Paul told Timothy, these things write I unto you, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3, it says, he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar. I believe them church age messengers are pillars, but he that overcomes, he's a pillar. He's a pillar in the house of my God. Amen? Amen. And I love what the scripture says. He shall go out no more. Right. He's talking about some eternal security tonight. Amen? Amen. There's a lots of people that are in or out. But pillars, they're stuck. Yes. You can't get off. You want to. The building's resting on you now. The weight of revelation is yours. You can't get out and nobody can take you out. Listen, a man did put you in and a man can't take you out. That's why that first pillar, Paul said, I am persuaded. Oh, hallelujah. Are you persuaded tonight? I am persuaded there's no height, there's no depth, there's no breadth, there's nothing present, nothing to come, no man, no power, no principality, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. You can't separate me. We're inseparable. You can't have a building without the prayer.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
My.
Goodness. Shoo.
Brother Branham says this. Talking about the Philadelphian church age 1960. This is the actual church ages, so we're good. Whew, dodge the bullet there, man. Praise the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. It's 1960. But he's reading the same scripture. He that overcometh will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Pillar, a pillar. He said, or foundation, foundation, the temple of my God, the house of God, the temple of my God, or the house of my God. It's a pillar. He said, these are those that took the word. You wonder who he's talking about? Who's the pillar? These are those that took the word which they heard and went back to the foundation. Because it don't do you no good to put the pillar up top, not resting on anything. Now you're just a decorative hanging.
That's right.
You're a stalactite or something. Well, I don't want to be a stalactite or stalagmite. That's for caves.
Amen.
This is a house. Praise the Lord. I don't know what that's about. Built upon the foundation, he says, of Lutheran or of Baptist. He said, oh, I got it mixed up. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He said, everything went at the door, Jesus, and he that overcometh will make him a pillar. In other words, I'll make him part of the foundation.
That's right. Amen.
Shh. What will I give him? I'll put in him the doctrine of the apostles and prophets from the beginning and give him the revelation. What did the prophets say about him? He is counselor, prince of peace, mighty God, everlasting Father.
Amen.
Amen. My. He said, amen, brother. I'm going to skip down here. He says, amen, I like that. I may act funny, but I feel good. Man, I tell you what, I'm even sweating tonight. Shh. Man, that was part of the fall. Till the ground, you're going to sweat. I'm like, man, I'm redeemed.
Amen.
I don't want to sweat. Well, here we are.
Amen.
Well, this isn't redeemed, but it's going to be.
That's right.
But this is redeemed.
Amen.
This is the pillar and ground of the truth. What? Listen, it's not you. It's what God put in you.
That's right.
It's what God made you to be.
Amen.
Amen. He says this, if he's a pillar, he ain't going out no more. He's the bride.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. That's what he says. That's right. If you're going to be a pillar, he says, now I got another scripture before we get to the bride. Now, if he's going to be a pillar, you're going back to Ephesus. You're going back to the age that Paul was in. And Paul, the angel of Ephesus, was the beginning of the church, the foundation. He taught them, if they were baptized any other way besides the name of Jesus Christ, had to be baptized over. That's right, Acts chapter 9. He said, Galatians 1:8. He said, if an angel taught anything else, let him be accursed.
Amen.
He says, they were also the bride that was in the temple. Amen. So I'm saying all this for a reason tonight. God is trying to hew us out in our lives to fulfill this promise. If you overcome, you'll be a pillar.
Amen.
Listen, there's a lot of people in church. There's a lot of people in message churches. And they're good people and they go to church, but are they pillars?
Right.
You say, what do you mean by that, brother? Can they bear any weight? Can they bear the load?
Amen.
Or are they just there for the blessings? Are they just there to be entertained? Are they just there to have a good time? Or are they there to bear something up?
Come on. Amen.
Listen, people don't want to be a pillar because they got to be hewed out.
Yeah. Right.
Come on.
Right.
Now, Michelangelo used a chisel. But Brother Bam says this, God takes the very tool of humility and weakness and simplicity to work his works with. Amen. God is not using an iron chisel on you tonight. Amen.
Amen.
But he's still got some tools to make some masterpieces tonight. Amen. Paul took a man. God took a man like Paul. Listen, that lump looked like a persecutor of the church. He looked like a Pharisee, but that's not who he was. He was a pillar.
Amen.
God began to work on that man.
Yes.
Here he is riding his high horse down the road to Damascus. And that light struck him. And that voice spoke to him. And that light smote him blind.
Right, amen.
Listen, that man, oh my. You know, it always amazes me. Am I okay? Am I going here? You know, Ananias, he's sitting there praying. He gets a vision from God. Hey, I want you to go down here to Saul of Tarsus and lay hands on that man that he can receive the Holy Ghost. And here's Ananias. He's in a vision. Well, listen, God, are you sure about that? Listen, he's in a vision. He's like, I don't know, God, are you sure? I heard this guy's pretty bad. Well, listen, you think he's in a vision? Oh, he's in a vision. Oh, I heard he's bad. No, he's a chosen vessel. He's going to suffer some things for my name's sake. And listen, when Paul, when he receives the Holy Ghost from Ananias and God opens his eyes, he doesn't just go out and start doing his own thing. He goes down to Arabia and he seeks God for 3 years. He wanted to make sure when he started out preaching, he was preaching the right thing. He said, I've been mixed up before. I've been in the wrong kind of doctrine. I've believed the wrong kind of things. I don't want to do that again. When I go out this time, I want to be so sure that it's placed just right. Amen. Till I can say, if an angel preached something different, let him be accursed. Amen. I ask you tonight the same question Brother Brown asks. What's greater, an angel from heaven or an angel in the pulpit?
Right.
Amen. Oh, I wish God would come to... Listen, God sent you an angel. In this generation. He said the same thing Paul said. You can't get no better than that.
Right.
Amen. My. You know, I was thinking about it. The scripture talks about this in Romans 15:1. It says that we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You know, it's interesting to me because, like I said a few minutes ago, a lot of people go to church and we identify with the word. Well, we're holy and we're blameless. We're forgiven. We're accepting the beloved. Amen. I believe God wants me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul. Listen, I believe all that's true. But the Bible says we that are strong. And everybody at church says, well, that's not me. I don't want to have to do nothing. Listen, somebody has to fulfill that. Somebody ought to be able to stand up and say, we that are strong ought to bear the burdens of and the infirmities of the weak.
Amen. That's right.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. We're talking about mature Christians tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You want to know how you get a boy or a girl that grow up? You want to know when they're mature? When they can start bearing responsibility.
Amen.
When they quit blaming the pastor, and they quit blaming the church, and they quit blaming their upbringing. Well, this happened to me, and this happened to me, and this and that, and I wish somebody helped me out.
Amen.
When they can bear. Listen, it's not my son's job to bear my weakness. It's my job to bear him up.
Right. Amen.
You hear me tonight?
Amen.
Listen, if you're a mature Christian, you ought to be able to do more than to come to church and be like the horse leech. The horse leech has $2. Give, give. Well, the pastor needs to give me something. This guy needs to give. I need something from God. What do you have to give out?
Come on.
Some of us have gone to church for 30 years. We ain't no more built up than we were the first day we walked in.
Amen.
Well, I got sick and the pastor didn't come pray for me. Well, did you pray for you?
Come on.
You ought to be praying for somebody else.
Amen.
I'm not saying the pastor can't pray for you, but he didn't pay no attention to me. Then man up. You call him. The Bible says you call for the elders and they'll come.
That's right.
We want everybody to prop us up like a hotbed plant so we can make it into glory. Man, you ought to have a little more fortitude.
Yeah.
You know what makes a man a pillar? Stand up straight.
Amen.
Stand up and look the enemy in the eye.
Yeah.
Quit cowering. Listen, God did not mean to make me. He did not make me to back up on devils. He made me to cast them out.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, I'm going to stand up.
Come on.
Put your shoulders back.
Yes.
I got my foot on the rock.
Yes.
Mama's made up.
Amen.
Mommy and Daddy don't have to make me get in the kingdom. If pastor don't want to go, and parents don't want to go, and the deacon don't want to go, you can't take me out. I'm a pillar.
Come on.
I'm going to stand for it if nobody else wants to stand for it.
Amen.
Listen, they're going to call you lots of things. Listen, you just take this church thing a little too seriously. Well, Jesus took it seriously.
That's right.
Listen, that's all you want to do. All you want to talk about is Jesus. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I can't get out if I want to. Listen, Jeremiah said, listen, I don't want to prophesy in his name anymore. And the more he didn't want to prophesy, God started burning him like a fire. Oh, you're going to go and you're going to speak. You know what he told Jeremiah? I'm going to make you brazen walls and an iron pillar.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed of their faces. Don't be confounded. Though they all plant themselves against you, you will not fail. Set your face like a flint.
Amen.
I'm going to make you an iron pillar. Then, man, they butt up against you, they're going to hurt their hand. They don't want what you got. You don't want these hands. Amen, somebody. Listen, I just decided a long time ago, listen, it's like Jacob. We're all troubled. Man, I'm going through some trouble. Well, welcome to the club. It's called you're alive. It's called you're still breathing. But I made up my mind a long time ago, when trouble troubles me, I'm going to trouble. It's like I always tell people, you got to be the devil to the devil. That's what it does. Is it tormentor? You ought to torment him. When you walk in the room, they ought to cry out, have you come to torment us before the time? That's what they do with Jesus. Yeah. You didn't have to say glory, 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 say work them all up. Man, as soon as he walked in the room, right, they got scared. Yeah. And let me remind you that the devil might not be scared of you, but he's scared of the one you represent. Amen.
That's right.
Well, I believe God. The devil's doing the tremble. Man, praise the Lord. God's looking for some pillars tonight. You know, Brother Bram talked about Billy Graham. Go out, and he went to breakfast one day with Mordecai Ham and Billy Graham and these guys. And Billy Graham come in there and said, you know, I had 30,000 decisions last year, but I ain't got 30 this year, you lazy preachers. Brother Bram said, you know, I didn't mean to differ with my brother, but he said, what lazy preacher was there in Paul's day? He said, Paul could get one man. One man. And he would so, Brother Bram said, hew him out. He would so fashion him as the Son of God, that one would go get 30 more. Amen. I'm saying something to you tonight. Amen. Let's quit putting it all on the preacher. Yeah. Let's quit putting it all on our favorite personality. Amen. Yeah. You've got something to do. Amen. Well, I want to do something for God. I want to do this great big thing. Well, if you're not faithful in little things. Pastor ain't gonna tell me how to dress and how to act. Nobody can tell me. Yeah, God can't even tell you. Nobody can tell you. Nothing. You know what you sound like? You sound like a teenager locking themselves in their room. Ain't nobody can tell me what to do. Listen, any teenager can act like that. Amen. Where's a real man of God, woman of God, says, you know what? Whatever God says, I'm gonna do it. Amen. No matter what anybody else thinks about it. Pillars aren't sitting there, oh, my rights and me. No, they stand up. Amen. And they hold up the weight. Yes, sir. Listen, if one person in church is going to pray, it's going to be me. Amen. It's like I said a minute ago, they might call. Listen, I always tell people, they call me all kinds of names, but they call me when they're sick. They call you holy road, they call you difficult, they call you this, that. As soon as they're sick, they're calling on you, brother. Why? Because they know you're that one that can reach heaven. Amen. Listen, there's people in your lives, maybe lost loved ones or whatever, and they might not talk to you for years, but when they're in a crisis, guess who's ringing the phone? They've said all kinds of things about you, called you all kinds of names, but they know you're connected from the ground up. You're connected to glory. Something's different about you. It's amazing to me, and I'm not saying this to be critical or anything, but I have people that go to denominational churches. Something happens, they call me. I'm like, well, they call their pastor, this, that. Because they ain't got no confidence they can reach God. I'm thinking, why would you sit under it if you can't get behind it?
Amen.
Ooh, come on. Talk about it. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. Never going to let my trials keep me down. Well, listen. I'm saying all this for a reason. We ought to be that one. Listen, we're not an infant bride now. We're supposed to be strong. We ought to have enough fortitude spiritually to stand up for somebody else. We barely stand up on our own. There's something wrong. Amen. Listen, when you're a child, you got trouble walking around. Amen. This is not an infant bride. This is a mature bride. She knows who she is. She knows what she's standing for. She recognizes the word for her day. That's right. Act like it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You can get 30,000 decisions. That don't mean anything, but that one that's hewed out. It doesn't matter if the preacher's around or not. They're going to seek God. Listen, Daniel didn't have a pastor to prop him up. Didn't have a big old praise and worship band to get him excited every service. Not against these things, not but listen. He didn't have all this stuff we take for granted, amen? One man being persecuted, told he was going to get be in prison, told he was going to get thrown in the lion's pen, and he went to his window and he threw open the doors. Guess what? I'm still standing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The next morning when they come to find him, oh, he got eat up. You know, I said, you know what? I'm still standing. I'm still alive. Hungry lions can't move me. Kingdoms can't move me. Fiery trials can't move me. Paul said, though I be put in bonds and I go up to Jerusalem, though all these things have been prophesied, none of these things move me.
Right. Come on now.
Amen.
Oh, my. The whole world's being shaken.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Everything that can be shaken will be shaken.
Yes.
If you're not locked in place, you're going to fall apart.
Amen.
You might fall apart when you get home.
Right.
Listen, if you're locked in place, you can't give up even when you want to give up.
Right.
Because we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved.
Yes.
You believe that? Let's stand to our feet tonight. We have received a kingdom which cannot be moved. You know what that means? Whoever wins the election 2024, if the Lord tarries long. Oh, man, my favorite candidate lost. Well, guess what? There's no, the only election that ever took place in heaven already took place, and you were in it. That's the only election I need to worry about. The only election that matters in glory is the one I'm a part of. Jesus is still king. He's still Lord of lords. And that don't change. You believe that tonight? The musicians want to come. No, I'm going to sing that song. I shall not be moved. You all know that one, right? That's an old one. That's an oldie but a goodie. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to make that your testimony tonight.
Yes.
Let's quit being the roller coaster Christian.
Yes, sir.
Let's quit blaming everybody else. Let's stand up straight.
Yes.
Let's be real men and women.
Amen.
Say, you know what? I'm going to be that one if you can't depend on anybody else in church.
Right.
I'm going to be that one. Money and women, popularity of the world, it don't move me. I'm not worried about fashion. I'm not worried about being a people pleaser.
No,
I'm going to serve God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, yes, I shall not be moved. I shall not be. Oh, I'm like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, yes, Lord, I shall not be moved. And though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. My Jesus will not fail me, and I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, yes, Lord, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, I'm like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, Lord, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, and though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. For I'm on the rock of ages. I shall not. Oh, I'm like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree,
yeah,
that's planted by. Oh, I shall. Sing that chorus one more time. I shall not be. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. Oh, I'm like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you tonight for planting us on the rock of ages. Oh, we can testify like David. You set our feet upon a rock tonight. Oh, God, you've been faithful. Lord, help us to be faithful tonight. Lord, help, may our confession, may our lives be steadfast, always abounding, unmoving, unchanging in the word of your grace. Lord, as we pray tonight, let's pray. Father, we just ask you now, bless these people tonight. Lord, tonight may their obedience to the word of God may it unlock the blessings of God in their life. May it cause them to stand up straight in the face of adversity. May it cause them to look death in the eye in the most wicked age has ever been and defy the powers of darkness, defy the powers of Satan, and declare, not just with their lips, but from their heart, I shall not be moved. Lord, tonight I pray you just take some men and women of God here. Make them real pillars. Maybe they've been wishy-washy. Maybe they've been riding the fence. But I pray tonight you just make them to bear loads. Make them strong in the power of the Lord and your might tonight. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Lord, may they pray for one another. May they pray fervently one for another. And Lord, may you get great glory and honor in the testimonies. Lord, may you take the word of God that's spoken here and bless them in a mighty way. Lord, when the world's falling apart, we're rising up. We're rising all the way up to heaven, rising all the way to glory. We shall not be moved tonight. Lord, I thank you for a resting place. When the whole world's on shifting sands, we've got a refuge in our rock tonight. I pray you bless this pastor, bless this church and these people. When they go from this place tonight, may they never depart your presence. We thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you tonight, brother, if you'd like to come. I didn't even drink my water.
My goodness. You know, we preached a couple of weeks ago on building God's house. Amen. Brother Branham said, you know, the Bible says that he is the cornerstone and he's the capstone. It's one and the same. But between the corner and the cap are the pillars. And Brother Branham said those pillars are put down to the foundation. And they go down to the foundation and they go up to the top. So everything rests on the pillars. I thought I was strong before tonight.
Come on.
I'm looking at myself a little bit better now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, you know, I have stood.
Yes.
And I have been a pillar.
Yes.
And we've got pillars around here.
Yeah.
When all hell falls against us, you know what? The pillars hold the house together.
Yeah.
When the storms come and the winds blow and the tornadoes come through, it's the pillars that's attached to the foundation and attached to the capstone that keeps everything in the house together.
Amen.
I was thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It doesn't matter whether I make it through it or not. They were so sure who they were. They were so sure what they had. It didn't even matter if God came and saved them or not.
That's right.
And they weren't even worried about this. They weren't worried about, oh, king, let us stick around a while. Don't kill us. Don't throw us in the fiery furnace. Oh, please. They said, our God is able.
Amen.
He's able. He can deliver me.
Right.
But if he doesn't, my God is still able.
Oh,
and you got a pillar on your hands. You got somebody that's not tossed. You got somebody that's standing tall. I like that. Stand tall. I'm 6'3". I'm a tall pillar. I'm a tall pillar. I'm standing tall. I feel like I'm about 7 foot now. But when you are anchored and you're not tossed and you know what you have, that pillar will stand. And it's not even, you're not even standing because you want to. You're standing because you don't have any other thing to do. A pillar just stands. He don't have a choice in the matter. He was built for that job. He was put in the house for that job. And there's no other thing that he can do but what he's doing. I've been built for this job. God saved these pillars for this age because he knew he had to have some strong pillars at the end of it all. And here we stand. Here we stand. My goodness. I enjoyed that, Brother Alex.
Yes.
I'm glad you brought that back. Wherever it came from, I'm glad you brought it back. Amen. I'm glad you brought it. So, you want another glass? I got another one here. Amen. So, I appreciate you coming.
Amen.
And come back anytime.
Amen.
Yes. And, this is a fitting song, I think. Come back, and you all remember your announcements that's coming up. We got things coming up, so keep those things in mind. And Brother Covey's, good to have you and see you again. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. There are so many things that you said I loved. That statue of Moses, it was hewn out of a rock that nobody else even paid much attention to. They walked right by it, but when Michelangelo saw that rock, that big old piece of stone, because it didn't have no shape, it didn't look like nothing. And I love it that he didn't have to add an ear or add an arm. He took one rock. And he just put this, he pulled the life, the beauty out of the rock. He didn't have to add to it. It wasn't like a painting. It was a rock. Anybody else got their hand on that rock, it would have been a disaster. But when God got hold of this beautiful rock, he saw a bride, a perfect bride. And he chiseled and worked and chiseled and worked and chiseled and worked, and here we stand. The masterpiece is on her feet, and she is now speaking. My goodness, I enjoyed that. There's so many things in there, so many. I enjoyed it. Well, we better close. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, oh, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh, it is you, Lord, who came and saved. Heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, who gives me strength. Thine own hand, lead me, Lord, oh, lead me, Lord, from temptation, purify me. Where's it gonna happen? From within, fill my heart with your Holy Spirit and take away all my sin. Lord, prepare me, oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. me.
Dismissed.